We're talking about the will of the great I am. And I have the privilege of talking about the big three-letter word, sex. So if you have any kids who not comfortable with them hearing about the sex word, you have about 5 minutes to take them to, we have a great kids' church in the back, and so the ushers will show you where to go. So if you have a youngster that you're not comfortable with them hearing the sex topic, we'll have ushers and greeters that will take them to kids' church. They're going to have a good time. They're going to have a good time. And if you want, you can leave them there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to pray in a little bit, but you're going to have about 3 minutes to take your kids to the kids' church, because we're going to talk about that three-letter word, sex. Can we pray as they get ready to move on? Can we pray? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you are a giver of good gifts. God, you've given the gift of life and even the gift of sex. And today, as we talk about that through your word, my prayer this morning is that you would hide me behind the cross, that God, you would speak, that you would teach, that I would be a vessel being used for your glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. Listen, if you have a Bible, whether it's a screen or a paper, would you find me in the book of Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some folks may not have paper, but screen is good. And if you don't have a screen, we will put it on the screen for you. But before we get to the text this morning, I want to stop for a moment and dialogue about a phrase. Don't have it in my PowerPoint, but it's a familiar phrase that many of us, I believe, at least one time in our lives have dealt with. And here is the phrase. I wish I would have. Say with me, I wish I would have. And that's a phrase that we've all struggled with before. For me, there are times in my life where I'll say, I wish I would have never bought that. I mean, at the time, it looked good. You know, in the shop, you know, it fit right on you, and the price was a little too high, but you said, forget it, you only live once, YOLO. You know, and you were like, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy this thing, and you buy it, and you go home, and you're like, I wish I would have never bought that. Or for some of you, maybe it's a car, and you see the car, and it looks nice when you go there, and you go in, and the dealer is like, man, I'll give you a rebate, $1 off, and I'll have your payments only $400 a month. You can afford that. You're an attorney. And then you buy it, and for the first year, you enjoy it, but a while after, you say, I wish I would have never got into that payment. Maybe beyond just buying stuff, for some of you, like for me, I look at my account sometimes and I say to myself, I wish I would have saved a little more. Maybe you're a little bit older than I am, and you're getting close to retirement, and you look at your account and you say, I wish I would have saved more. I mean, we all struggle with that phrase, I wish I would have, whether it's buying something or saving money, or going somewhere, or saying something. But today, I want to deal with the I wish I would have controlled my body. That's the statement that is close to home with me. I wish I would have controlled my body. And today, when we talk about controlling our body, we're talking about sex. Sex. Now, if you're married and you are having sex, listen up. Have more. I like you, sister. Say amen. Amen again. Because God gets glory in that. But there are others who aren't there yet. And I believe Paul is saying, whether you're there or you're not there, control your body. Now, if you're married, make sure the person you're having that big three-letter word with is your husband or wife. Like, don't go to your neighbor or your Pookie and Ray Ray. And today we're going to tackle God's word. And I know it's going to be a little shaky, but we're going to go there. If you have your Bibles, follow me to the book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's journey to see what Paul says in the text. If you don't have a screen, share with somebody. If not, it'll be on the screen. Reading from verse 4, he says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live in order to please God. As in fact, you're living now. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will, God's desire, that you should be sanctified, that you should be set apart, avoiding sexual immorality, that big word we're talking about today, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who don't know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such a sin, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impulse or impure, but to live a life holy and pleasing to God. Man, there's a lot to unpack there. And Paul starts in verse 1, and he says to them, man, I want you to get this. He says to them, we're called. We are called by God. Listen, we are called by God for God. Matter of fact, not only were we called by God, but we were created by God for God to please God. I mean, that's why we were created. That is the reason why you were fearfully made in the crevices of your mother's womb. Because God wanted you to please Him. That is God's desire. That is God's will. My first point this morning, if you're a note taker, this morning is this: we are called to live in a way that pleases God. And so Paul says, man, we're called to please God. All throughout the scripture, it reminds us that we should please God. In Isaiah 43, don't have to go there, in verse 7, he says, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. For I have made them for my glory. That's what God's about. God is about His glory. And God wants glory through you. And not just only in your giving. And not just only in your singing. But in your sex life. In your sex life. Who are we? We're called to live for His glory. And what Paul is saying here is to keep on living. If you have your Bibles, go back to verse 1. He says, we instruct you to live on, to live in order to please God, as in fact you're living right now. So he's talking to believers, and he's saying to them, you're living in a manner that pleases God. And he's saying, keep on, keep on. Don't stop doing that. Don't ever grow weary in doing good. Keep on, keep at it. Keep on. He's encouraging them to continue to live in a manner that pleases God. And then he turns to them and says, so you have to continue not only just keeping on, but to keep on living and bringing glory to God. So many of you are asking me, why should I keep on living for His glory? Well, there are a couple of reasons why. Why live to please God? Number one, God's desire is that you be set apart. It is God's will, it is God's desire that you be sanctified. And it's a biggie churchy word, and I'll explain it a little bit. It means to be set apart. That we who are believers, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We are declared righteous because of what Christ has done on the cross. But it doesn't stop there. God wants to set us apart. It's a process called, another big churchy word, sanctification. And I'll explain that too. It means we are being saved from the power of sin. That God wants to set us apart so that we can bring Him glory. See, God's desire is that those who claim him as Lord be set apart, be different. Listen, one of the biggest problems with the church today is we have so many folks who are claiming to be followers of Christ, and their lives look nothing like it. You know, I'm a youth pastor. I've been doing youth ministry for about 13 years, and these kids, they claim a whole lot of stuff. I remember one year I went into school where we were praying and sharing the gospel. You guys know about First Priority. We went there, and I invited a kid to come over to our church. And he says, if you beat me in basketball, I'll go to your church. And I said, okay. He says, if I win, what are you going to give me? I'll buy you lunch. And he said, I'm very good now. I'm the next Kobe Bryant. And I said, okay, let's go. And we went on the court, and he claimed to be very good. Listen, he sucked. He wasn't any good. Beat him 21-1. And I said, hey, give me your address. I'll pick you up so you can come to youth group. Invite a friend. You see, we make claims, but we don't live it. Paul is saying here, listen, God desires that those who claim to be with God, that they live it, that they're set apart. And then the next thing is this. We're called to avoid sexual immorality. When you hear that, it talks about fornication and adultery. What is fornication? Fornication is two married people, or two unmarried people, engaging in sex. Adultery is someone who is married that is having sex with someone he's not married to. And Paul is saying to them, avoid that. And why is he saying that? Because in this context, the culture of sex was rampant, like today. You know, like today, how they're trying to sell you a car, and they have a half-naked lady on the car. Or they're trying to sell you a hamburger, and this lady in a bikini is biting a hamburger, and they focus on the hamburger for a little bit, then they go to her again. Then they focus on the hamburger for a little bit, then they go back to her again. Then they focus on the hamburger just for a little bit more, then they go back to her again. They're selling sex. Listen, every TV show you watch, Scandal, selling sex. How to Get Away with Murder, it's selling sex. How to Be Mary Jane. Some people don't know these shows because you're very spiritual. But you know, for the rest of you guys, they're all selling sex. We live in a culture that sells sex. And Paul is saying avoid sexual immorality. Matter of fact, it's not a suggestion. How do you know that, Pastor Arthur? Go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. The Bible says, each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable to God. We're commanded to control our own body. What he's saying here is that we should glorify God with our sex lives. With our sex lives. Listen, sex is very good when it's done in the will of God. And if you're active and you should be, I'm going to say it again. Keep on going on and enjoy it and do it in a manner that brings glory to God. Listen, if you're active and you shouldn't be and you claim to be a follower of Christ, I'm going to tell you this. You need to back up a little bit. Man, if you're a believer and you're not active and you're not doing it, I'm going to say keep on keeping on and make sure you back away from the line so you don't cross it. Listen, the word back up for me is personal. I'm going to share my story a little bit. I remember when I first got saved, 19 years old, placed my faith in Jesus. At the time, I was dating a young lady. She was my girlfriend at the time, and she committed following Jesus, and we both got baptized on the same day, and we were living for Jesus. We were excited about Jesus. I remember one day, I was at her house, and we were sitting down watching a sporting event. And I remember her saying those words to me, we need to back up a little bit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she says, we need to back up because we got to really live for Jesus. And well, I'm like, we go to Bible study. I even give, like, I'm a young believer, and I'm giving a portion of my income. Like, we're good. They're going to ask me to serve with the youth group. We're good. And I remember saying, we got to back up in the area of sex. I remember on that day, on that bed, sitting down with her, and we started to draw lines. So if we're going to really do this for Jesus, what we have to do, what do we have to do together? We draw some border lines and said, you know what? You can't come in a room with me when my mom's not home. Okay, cool, we'll do that. We need to have accountability partners. Yeah, we'll do that. You know what? We were doing these things. You want to know why? Because we were more concerned about bringing glory to God than pleasing ourselves. This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying is that, man, we need to be more concerned to be in a place where we honor God than we are at a place where we want to bring glory to ourselves. And so we backed up from the line. The hardest 4.5 years of my life. But I remember 4.5 years later, we stood up at our altar and we said, and I got to say, I do. And I put on the ring. And we had a good time at the whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called. I'm so excited. Yeah, whatever that's called. And I was like, yeah, love you. Hey, you wanna hang around? No, I'm gone because I'm going to glorify God. Man, you think I'm kidding here. Listen, if you're a believer and you're saving yourself, I want you to do it for the right motives. Don't do it out of self-righteousness. Do it for the glory of God. What Paul is saying here is, Paul is saying our lives should be holy and honorable to God. Paul is saying here we should have a high view of God. It reminds me of another young man, not Arthur, and his name is Joseph. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't know him. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. Got a job with a guy named Potiphar. He bought him. And Potiphar liked what he was doing so much that he says, anything you want to do, you do, except my wife. Some of you guys got that. But his wife saw him. She looked. He had a bald head like Tommy. He had muscles like Greg. He had a pretty face like Gary. He had a figure like Arthur without the belly. And she saw him, and she was like, man, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. But you know what I like about Joseph? He had such a high view of God. That even though she came like the commercial girl with her Victoria's Secret on, she grabbed the whole of his cloth. And she said, Potiphar is not coming home for a while. He's like Gary. He's in Hong Kong. He says, how can I do this? Not and lose my job. Not and get caught. How can I do this in sin against God? Young people, if you're here today, I want to challenge you to back up from the line. You know, as I serve in youth ministry, everyone wants to know, how close is the line? Where's the line? How close can I get to? Can I get this close to the line and be okay? Can I get this close to the line and be okay? Can I get this close to the line and be okay? Listen, if a lion was in front of you, you don't say, how close can I get to the lion and it'll be okay? You back away from the cage. Because if you put your hand in the cage, he just might bite it off. Believers, we're not trying to figure out how close we can get to the line and to be okay. We say, you know what, where is that place where I can honor God and I can bring him glory? Because we need to be, like what Paul is saying here, a people who wants to honor God and live a life that's holy. So we back up. We back up. Maybe God is calling some of you today to back up from the line. You're saying, I haven't crossed it. But maybe you need to back up. Some of you are saying, well, I'm so far across that I'm never going back. Listen, I believe that God is able to help you across that line. I believe that God is able to keep you. I believe that if God has done a good work in you, that he's able to bring it to completion. I believe that the God we serve, the God of the entire universe, man, I believe that that God is able. I believe that if we would seek him, if we would seek him first, he'll give us everything we need to back up from the line. I just believe that he's able. I believe he's able. If you're still following me, would you go to verse 5? In verse 5, Paul says to us, let's not be like those who don't love God. Because they say sometimes, those who say they love God and those who love God, when it comes to the area of sex, there's no difference. And Paul is saying it should be a difference. He says, don't be not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this manner, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all of those who commit such sins, as we told you and we warned you before. If you know that you're a believer, it should look like it. And Paul is saying that. But there's another point that he makes that we often overlook. He says, no one should take advantage of a brother or a sister. Listen, I know we don't share this a whole lot, but I want to let you know this morning that sexual sin takes advantage of people. Matter of fact, that's my next point this morning. Sexual sin takes advantage of people. Sexual sin takes advantage of that child that will never have a hope of a home that's not broken. You know, 7 out of 10 urban kids grow up and they grow up in broken homes. And the primary cause for that, most of the time, is a sexual sin. That they live in broken homes and in broken communities, and it can all be traced back for so much of it back to a sexual sin. That a sexual sin will have a young man grow up in a home where he doesn't know his father's name or he doesn't spend time with his father. Sexual sin will take advantage of people. Sexual sin will take the life of people. You know, they say that 40% of unexpected or unwanted pregnancies end in abortion. Hearing that for you might be a stat, but for me, that's crazy that 4 out of 10 of folks who are created by God, for God, to please God, are not even going to have a chance because we were afraid to back up from the line if we're a believer. Sexual sin takes advantage of people. It even costs some their lives. Sexual sin is one of the major causes for things like mental illness and depression. And you might think, well, it's just a girl that I had in high school or just a girl that I messed around with. But those things, if we're not careful, can lead to depression, can lead to mental illness. Sexual sin can rob a husband of his wife. And there's a story about a man, a lady, who was married to this young man, the man of her dreams. She had all kind of plans. They were in the choir. They sang in the choir together. They were involved in the church. They served in the youth group. And he didn't have any lines, and so he started to talk to this young lady in the choir. Then they went out to coffee a couple of times. Then all of a sudden it was, let's go watch a movie. And then it was, oh, movie's done, let's go out to dinner. Hey, come over, my wife is out of town, come over to my house for a little bit. And he didn't have any lines, and he crossed all the borders because he didn't have any, and it led to a sexual sin. And it robbed this lady her husband. I know we don't want to hear this, but sexual sin is dangerous. It does damage that we really can't see. It does damage way beyond what we see. And Paul is saying, let's avoid that. Let's avoid that. As a matter of fact, bigger than all of that, sexual sin is dishonorable to God. And if we're believers, I think our primary focus should be about glorifying God. Listen, you're not going to be perfect. And if you've crossed that line, I'm not here to embarrass you because I've crossed the line before. But I know there's a God who's able to back you up. I'm not saying because I read in a book somewhere. I'm saying from experience, there's a God who is able to back you up and to hold you at a place where he says, you know what, stay right here so you can bring me glory. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Listen, today is not another session on behavior modification. No, this is about spiritual transformation, that the God we serve is doing something in you. And I believe he's able. So the will of the great I am. Will I am. God desires that he gets glory in every area of your life. Let's not exclude the area of sex. I'm getting ready to close, and the praise team will come in a little bit. I want to make sure that you get this. You can't pull your bootstraps up and do it on your own. Because as men, we're wicked. I'm not wicked. The Bible says you're wicked. In Romans 5, the Bible says, while we were wicked, while we were sinners, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were jacked up, Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. And then in verse 8, the last verse I'm going to read this morning, he says, therefore, anyone who rejects these instructions, you're not rejecting Paul. You're not rejecting Gary or Donette. You're not rejecting Arthur. I mean, let's get this right. Anyone who rejects this, it's, well, you know, it's just Arthur. He'll get over it. No, here's what he says. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instructions does not reject a human being, but God. The very God who gives you his spirit. I often wonder, why did he end it that way? The very God who gave you his spirit. The very God who gave you his spirit. Matter of fact, in my version, it says, the very God who gave you his Holy Spirit. Because he wants you to know that he is giving you what you need to back up from the line. He is giving you his Holy Spirit. What's the big deal about his Holy Spirit? Here's the big deal. Before he left, he says, I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you'll be there also. And you're going to be there also. And they're like, well, we don't know where you're going. Yeah, you do. Going to prepare a place for you. Like, you're leaving? Yeah, I'm leaving. And they're getting teary-eyed and sad. And he says to them, don't worry. I'm going to send you another one. Another one? If you read it, he even says, it'll be better for me to leave. In John 14, he says, I'm sending you another one, and he's an advocate. It's not just a feeling that you feel in your belly. It's not this thing that makes you speak in a different language. No, that's not what it is. It is an advocate, someone that helps you. Someone that helps you when you struggle with the line. Like when Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. But it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to back up from the line. He ends the verse as we get ready to sing our last song. He ends the verse by saying, I've given you my Holy Spirit. The last point I want to leave with you this morning is this. The Holy Spirit empowers us so we can overcome sexual sin. The Holy Spirit empowers us so that we could live for Jesus. Man, we have his Spirit. If I was you, I would bless the Lord for that with all my soul. And with all that is within me, oh, bless the holy name. As the praise team comes and sing that song, man, I want to challenge you this morning to get this. We have been given the Holy Spirit. who empowers the will or our willingness to trust that His Holy Spirit can help us overcome sexual sin. By His Spirit, God has given us a resource for victory. We are responsible to use the resources He has given us. We are responsible to allow that Spirit to bear fruit in us. As believers, we need to get out of the way and let God be Himself through us. We need to get out of the way and let God be Himself through us. As we close this morning, it is God's desire. It is God's will that He be glorified with our body. God is saying, control your bodies. And I know you can't do it on your own. And so I'm going to send my Spirit. This morning, if you are not a believer, you don't have that Spirit in you. But that Spirit comes alongside you. And it pushes you to place your faith in the God who is able to change everything. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, it changes everything. It changes everything. So if you're here today and you're not a believer, man, the altar's open. And I believe that today is a day of salvation. I believe that God died on the cross so that we who are broken could respond to the gospel, repent and believe, and allow God to restore us back to His design, to restore us back to His will, the will of the great I Am. Maybe you're here, and in the past, you crossed the line. And there are scars that no one can see. And I don't want to embarrass you this morning. But you can stand where you are. And you can ask the Lord to heal those scars. To heal those scars. You know, the great thing about scars is that when they're healed, they remind you that you have a healer. They remind you that at the moment those scars hurt. They were hard. It might still hurt when you look at them, but there's a God who heals. Whether you stepped out in marriage or whether you stepped out before marriage, the God we serve is a healer. Would you stand with me today as we worship the God of the universe? If you're a believer, if you're an unbeliever and you want to place your faith in Jesus, you can come to the altar. You can raise your hand. You can go to a leader and say, I want to place my faith in Jesus. I want to place my faith in the work of God. But if you're a believer and this is a struggle for you, God knows and He hears you.